I'm Rob Nichols with Cromwell Media here with Jalen Darty. We're talking about flooding in the communities surrounding Owensboro. Some of the places around the tri-state are very bad when it comes to flooding. We've got Curtis Dame here with us, judge executive of McLean County. Hello, sir. How are you?
We're steady and rested up and ready to continue our efforts to make sure we're all prepared for the event that we're currently encountering. But the sun is shining and we're hopeful.
So what does it look like now? I mean, they're saying it's just going to get worse in some of these places. What is the water? How far has it risen here so far?
Well, you know, at least from what I've seen, if individuals follow social media posts for those that are currently impacted, from the gauge data that I have today, we're sitting around 33.15 feet here at the Calhoun Lock and Dam number 2. That's also where the gauge is at. And that puts us above last month's flood, you know, in February, end of February, early March. And we're expected to exceed that by another foot or two. And hopefully by Thursday, crest at 34.8 feet. And so we haven't seen the maximum extent of the impact here, at least in McLean County and our adjoining counties. We got a fantastic network of communication with our other EMA directors in Ohio. Hopkins County downstream from us as well, because we're all interconnected in regards to the impact of this event, not only from the Green River watershed, but Ohio River, and subsequently down south on the Mississippi Basin as well. So you take all that into account, we're all experiencing delayed effects depending on where you're at. And so we're catching all that water that came from upstream, you know, in the Mammoth Cave area, Bowling Green. And that's what you're seeing now, which is leading to this rise. And hopefully, as I mentioned, eventual crest on Thursday.
Now, a lot of people don't realize that all these waterways are connected. So some of these places that are seeing flooding now, if you're downstream from some of these places, well, you're going to see it later on.
That's right. The one silver lining, I guess we could say, is that you have time to plan and prepare in this type of flooding event compared to what our neighbors out east may have with flash flood events, because they don't have the capacity in water storage or capacity with the size of their streams and the topography of central and eastern Kentucky. And so here the water spreads out. That's what our listeners, I guess, today would see, is that you're seeing that unintended capacity beyond what the river banks can hold, right? And all of our tributaries, for those in Davis, Panther Creek, for example, Cypress Creek here in McLean County, Rough River for those that are impacted in Ohio, Pond River for those in Hopkins and Muhlenberg. And so, as you mentioned, that is correct. We're seeing that impact today.
You know, Judge, talk about the relief efforts that are going on. I know I spoke to you off air earlier. National Guard is on their way to McLean County. So talk about the relief efforts that's going on within the community to try to help the impacted citizens around the area.
Yes, so we have compiled a list of individuals that need assistance. One thing that makes this high water event different from what we had just a month or two ago is that it is anticipated that the high water mark will be persistent in a period of 7 to 10 days. And so if you recall, just recently, that water went out pretty quick. This is a different situation this time. And so if you think you have enough food, you need to reevaluate that. And if you have enough water, you know, you should if you have utilities, but we're going to try to start the process of going door to door in some of these inundated areas in communities like Rumsey, east of Calhoun here, Livermore, and then other outlying rural areas that we know are hot spots. We use data and mapping with GIS services here to be able to highlight those spots, and then also just social media efforts. We're trying our best to get those out. I know one reoccurring concern is what route to use to get to work. I know there's an article recently about the possibility of closing 431. If you go back and look in history, in 97, it did close. And we are set to possibly exceed that once we get to that, well, at least the projected crest of 34.8. It's not to create hysteria. It's, as I mentioned, to allow you to make plans now for the impact to your daily travel. But, so when it will reach that, it all depends on the rate of rise. It seems the river has slowed down a little bit maybe this morning, but we're still seeing dramatic crests in 12-hour periods, or rises, actually. And so that's why I mentioned that. Not to cause hysteria. It's to allow you to prepare. So the longer you have to do that, you can hopefully find your route that you need. And each route for each individual is different based on where you live, east and west, for example. And so we're trying our best to do elevation data and make new custom routes, at least for primary routes, to get individuals there. We're currently working on that to give you a little better information because, you know, MapQuest, for example, it doesn't take into account where the high water would or will be, right? And so the State Transportation Cabinet has a really good online resource. It's called goky.ky.gov. You can search that on a mobile device. The key thing is you need to hit the weather incident or impact toggle switch there. It's got a little cloud that'll pop up on all these roads that have been truly deemed unpassable or have water over them. And we keep getting this comment of, hey, there's water over the road, but I can still drive it. Theoretically, you don't know if that road is still there or not, right, depending on how deep the water is. There's a safety concern with that. And so I've seen plenty of individuals drive around these barriers already. You do so at your own risk.
Well, like the old saying goes, turn around, don't drown. I mean, it's very important to remember that.
Yes, because you don't know if the road integrity and quality of that public right-of-way is still there. We have one or two roads currently right now that since the water has got over those roads with the current, they've washed out. And one of them was a newly improved road, a county road here in McLean County. And you, typically, historically, individuals would try to drive through that or walk through it, and that you can't see it once it gets over a couple of inches to determine whether or not it's actually there or not. And that's a concern for us here on emergency response, and I cannot emphasize that enough, is to, like you mentioned, turn around, don't drown.
You know, if citizens in McLean County and surrounding areas aren't affected, is there ways for them to participate in relief efforts, or is it just strictly a National Guard type of situation at this point?
As of now, it's a case-by-case situation. It depends on the full impact of the projected 34.8 crest. Because, you know, for years, at least the last 30, we've all referred to the flood of 97 as our benchmark number. This higher crest number will take us to a new historical benchmark of around 1950. And you can find all that information on, I think it's water.noaa.gov, and it'll show you, you can click on the gauge for here in Calhoun for McLean counties that are impacted, or if you're tuning in from another county, you can find the closest tributary water gauge by that automated website, and it'll show you those historic crests, and you can compare it to that specific gauge, and it'll give you that benchmark for the impact that should have been in the last 100 years or so. And so I mention that because as the water rises, our impacts that are felt go along with that. But right now, we're prepared. We may put out a call later for more sandbags. We've been bagging sand for a week now, as most of our adjoining counties have. But we were kind of surprised by that adjusted crest data that was put out yesterday, which took us from 33.5 to 34.8 as of Thursday. And so it's created a new need for sandbagging. That may be the only area we need. As of now, we're stable.
Yeah, sometimes just over a little over a foot may not seem like much, but it makes a big impact.
Yeah, we're at the point where the water spreads now. And so once you reach that 34 level, we start to see major shifts in impact just because it really has nowhere else left to go but up.
Well, sir, I really thank you for your information. We're going to make sure we get this out to the public. And definitely good luck to everyone who's working this and helping the public, trying to get the word out and to get things done to make it a safer area to travel in. So thank you very much, sir.
No problem at all. Thank you all for the opportunity. And just want to reassure people that we have the resources in our region, not just McLean County, and your local governments are dedicated to the public awareness and safety. We're going to give it the best effort that we can. I can say that for my counterparts because I know them personally. And your safety and ability to continue what daily life activities that we can ensure. We're going to try our best to make sure we can do that.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Judge, as the voice of the McLean County Cougars, my heart is with the rest of the community as well. If there's anything we can do here at Cromwell Media to get the word out, feel free to let us know. And like I said, our prayers and thoughts are with the community and the citizens that are affected by the flooding.
Thank you, sir. We very much appreciate it. And you all have a blessed day.